Five, four, three, two, one. You are listening to the Mango Tea Podcast with Jody and DK.
We are a nonpartisan Jamaican and Caribbean podcast for the diaspora. We give you tea with a slice of mango and information on current events, politics and politics, finance, sports, and culture. We created this podcast for the diaspora to know what's happening in the Caribbean beyond the gossip.
Hey y'all, welcome to a new episode of Mango Tea Podcast with Jody and DK. Today we have a special guest, and it's you. You are
yes. You would have guessed them.
You would have people. Yes, and we had a start to 2021 for Mango Tea Podcast. We start off with Haitian I think that's how I did it.
I hope you did that justice, because I feel like, listen, you did it clearly better than I would have. But I hope our Haitians are proud.
You
know what?
I have been putting myself out to slaughter. It is your turn.
Ooh, your turn. You're trying to get I already botched up our last two guests. I botched up their name. So our guests, if you listen to the last episode, which you should, the intro. I botched up their names horribly. Like a typical Jamaican that don't know if to pronounce people's name, that was me.
Yo,
so let's not put me in that position.
You know what though? The bar is low.
You set the bar low.
Yes. I botched every single solitary person that comes on this podcast. I botched up their name.
I botched up people spelling their names. I botched up your spelling it, the spelling of your name. So let's not even talk about names. Because if you guys even want to know, I've known Jody for how many years now, and I've had her name in my phone saved with an I at the end as opposed to a Y for years.
Years. We just realized it last year when we were talking in our group chat with Kayan, and Kayan was like, that's not how my name is spelled. And they were like, oh, and then you spelled my name, and I was like, oh, that's not how my name is spelled. And then you were like, Jody, that's not how my name is spelled.
It was a mess.
But we are not going to mess up our honored guest for today's name, and that's the audience. We will not mess up the audience's name. Ooh, all right.
Listen, we are definitely grateful for y'all. It's a brand new year. We're celebrating. Beyond what's going on, we're still celebrating. It's Black History Month. Yep. We're not recording on Black History Month, but when this episode airs, it will be Black History Month. We're celebrating everything Black History.
Every single thing. Oh, my goodness.
Everything.
Our first Haitian American month we had a little bit of issues with audio, but you know what? We are resilient, just like our cousins in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna keep going.
Yeah.
We're gonna build up on what we've done. So every day for Black History Month, we are going to be profiling a person or an event or persons related to Black history in the Caribbean. And y'all, I created the list, and honestly, I'm really inspired by our ancestors. Like, you know, like you have the Marcus Garveys, you have the Norman Washington Manley, you have the Stokely Carmichael, you have all of these amazing people, but there are some other really amazing people that we don't really know about. One of them, we're going to speak to his, this person is literally an icon, Walter Rodney. We're going to be speaking to someone from his foundation. And let me tell you, Walter Rodney is one of the quintessential revolutionaries of our region. You know what? So I realized I'm rambling, and I'm going to shut up soon. But I realize that in our global Pan-Africanist fight for Black power, Black empowerment movement, most of those leaders, either they came directly from the Caribbean, they're descendants of someone from the Caribbean, or they were inspired from someone in the Caribbean. I did not know this. People probably knew. I did not know. Malcolm X is West Indian. His mother is from Grenada. His grandfather, or his great grandfather was a slave. Mm-hmm. Who else? There was another. There's Marcus Garvey, of course, who I would consider the father of Pan-Africanism, whose legacy lives to this day. There is also Hubert Harrison, who was kind of he was a part of the Garvey movement. It's like all the girls were kikiing around during the Garvey movement, and he is considered like a Black Socrates. He's like a Black radical. Like, there's a photo of some radicals during the Harlem Renaissance. Mm. And honestly, when I was looking at the photo and looking at the people in the photo, I was like, this, all it said to me was like, if Nuck a Few Buck was a photo and people in it, that would be best. But it's so, I'm really excited for the content that we're going to give to you in social media. And there were audio recordings because honestly, our
ancestors. Talk about history. I didn't even know that. Rest in peace to Cicely Tyson, an iconic Black actress. But I also didn't know that her parents were West Indian.
Same.
I think it was announced when I heard it that I was like thinking of this iconic Black woman. She's played a lot of iconic Black characters, and she's talked about the history of the African American story. She's displayed and played characters that talk about that story. And I thought that I'm thinking that her parents and ancestry were clearly we're all from one region, but I always thought her parents were African American. I thought her parents came here obviously through the slave trade and landed in the U.S. and then that's all. But there was, I think they're from St. Kitts, if I'm not wrong.
I think
wow, a lot of people who are trailblazers that are Black have descended from the oceans of the Caribbean.
Yeah, and it's a really, really like proud.
It's a proud moment. Like, yes. It's a proud moment. It doesn't take away. Let's not make it seem like it take. It doesn't take away from everybody else that's African American, because at the end of the day, we all come from still one region, so we're all still one. But it's still just proud, and it's still a moment to celebrate, to know that people that are iconic, people that have paved the way, people that have made such an impact on our society and our world, come from the same waters as us. It's beautiful. Yeah. Love it. And I love the list. If you checked out, we clearly nobody's seen the list before, but the list that Jody put together, it makes you also realize that there are so much beyond the people we know, like the Marcus Garvey and the Bob Marley, beyond those people, there's so many others that or children and younger people need to know about, because they need to realize that beyond the few small that they know, there are a lot of people who are making a serious impact on our culture and our community. Mm-hmm. It's very important.
They were a part of some very, very monumental movements. And I know we're a couple minutes in, we're rambling. Yes, you guys talk so much, but that's why you love us. But I think I fell in love with Claudia Jones. She's considered like the mother of like Black Caribbean in the UK. She's like the founder of She's like the founder of one of the founders of Notting Hill Carnival. She's from Trinidad. She's born in, I think they said she was born in like St. Vincent. Born in St. Vincent. She grew up in Trinidad. She came to the US. She organized, she's a part of the Communist Party. They deported her. And I think Trinidad didn't want to take her because of like, you know, the US. So she went to the UK. And the work she did in the UK, God bless that woman. God bless that woman. And she was so influential that nation builders came to her too. When she landed in the UK, I think Norman Washington Manley from Jamaica came and visited her. Shetty Jagan from Guyana, the future president of Guyana, came to see her. Mm-hmm. And there was a white woman from St. Kitts who came to see her. And you know, like history, y'all know I am a history.
She's a history buff.
Nerd. Yes. But you're gonna hear about this all month long. You're gonna see it all month long. Make sure you follow us on social media at Mango Tea Podcast. It's gonna be on our Twitter page, our IG pages. It's gonna be everywhere. When I was putting together the list, I was like, oh, we need to do an episode about this person. We need to talk about this person. Like, And then what we have for you in March. Ooh, fire. I'm so excited. Okay. All right. So yes, we haven't spoken like one-on-one with our audience.
It's been a while. Yeah. I think the last episode we had one-on-one was possibly the last episode of 2020.
Yeah.
We did the thank you episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were supposed to have someone on today, but being, I think scheduling, because we're, Dakari is busier than ever. I'm busier than ever. The world is busy.
Busy.
Yeah. So, but we're of course, we're still trying to stay as consistent as we're going to be as consistent as we can be. We're not going to sacrifice. If there's an episode where the audio is trash, we are not going to publish it.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't hear from us, or if we don't say we're going on a break, just know that the audio was not it. And we are, yeah, so.
But hopefully they'll have an opportunity in the future to hear that episode, because it was brilliant. Mm-hmm. We spoke to, I don't know if you want to tell them, but we spoke to a professor, a Haitian professor.
Yes, okay.
It was like, if you guys remember the episode with Culture Doctor, the professor from Jamaica, from UWE, or I think it was UWE or UTIC. If you haven't listened to that episode, I feel like it's weird though, because maybe I need to start dismantling this thought. But every time I think of a professor, I always think of a boring professor. I guess because during college, I've always had an old white man with a briefcase. And it was like, okay, all right, so let's start. And it was just, it was not entertaining. It was just kooky. It was just structured. So every time I think of a professor, I'm always thinking of this boring old white person and how they speak. But the episode with the Culture Doctor and this episode that we recorded, unfortunately didn't get to air. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Wish she broke things out.
But we're going to have our professor, Estelle Leon. We're going to be recording with her.
She'll be back.
Yep. We're going to record with her as a part of Black History Month. We're going to talk about Haiti and some Haitian figures. And she is, listen, this is how you know an episode, this is how Dakari and I know an episode is great, not just good. All our episodes are good. And that's us being cocky. It's us being confident, because we pride ourselves in the work that we do. But great episodes, when we are on the, we stay on the call, like maybe like 30 plus minutes after we end the interview, that's how we know. And we were talking about that interview and analyzing it after. It's like for the girls that watch RuPaul's Drag Race, which is one of my favorite shows, this is how RuPaul's Drag Race goes. They show the main episode, and then after the main episode, they have like an hour or 30 minutes or so after where they show like, it's called Untucked, where they go behind the scenes and go like in-depth conversations.
Yeah.
We have our Untucked.
Our Mango Untucked.
Yes. Our mango peel.
Our mango peel.
Yes. I don't know. Okay. All right. Ranting. All right. Talawa Ine Marakont. Dakari, who's Talawa Ine Marakont?
Talawa Ine Marakont goes to Black people. I'm sorry. I apologize. Okay. The Talawa Ine Marakont, since we did not have it in person, it goes to our ancestry and our people. It's Black History Month, and we are celebrating who we are as a people. So, Talawa Ine Marakont, we're celebrating the folks, the Black folks, the melanin, the melanated people. It's y'all. It's me. Anyways, that was a mess. We're not going to edit. We're going to try to edit that out.
That's great. Oh my god. All right. Okay, let's get into the episode. Okay, so we were debating what to talk about for this episode. We were having like, because we were doing some pre-planning stuff, and we're just talking. And we were like, we're gonna talk Black History Month, because to kick off Black History. And then there have been, both of us, everyone knows that we're both from Jamaica, still have family there, all of that. And there have been a few incidences that's happened. Mm. One happened today. This is Sunday, January 31st. And an incident literally happened like 5 hours ago. Okay. 5 hours ago. And it kind of hit close to home for me, because it happened, it's kind of related to some family members, but I think it brings up, it's about crime. And then there is a report that came out yesterday or 2 days ago about homicide in the region. And it brings up a wonderful point about returning back to the region as returning residents and thinking about our safety. Because what just happened today? So first of all, there was a report that came out from Insight and they were analyzing, they analyzed like crime stats throughout the world. And in 2020, Jamaica had the highest, according to their reports, Jamaica had the highest homicide rate in the Latin American region, Latin American and Caribbean region.
Caribbean region, yeah.
Higher than Venezuela, higher than
Honduras.
Trinidad, number four. Mexico was number five. Belize is on the list. Colombia was on
the list. Higher than Colombia.
Brazil is lower on the list than us, nor two countries. Haiti's on the list. Haiti's much lower. Yeah, actually, from Caribbean, it'd be proper Caribbean. So Dominican Republic is last, then Haiti, then Puerto Rico, then I guess Belize would be considered, Trinidad, and then Jamaica. That is wild. And like Jamaica is, their crime rate is like double. Their homicide rate is double of what Trinidad is. And yeah, my
per 100,000, it's 46.5 homicide rate of 46.5 per 100,000.
Trinidad is 28.2. Haiti is 13. And Dominican Republic is 9. So it's like, it's a pandemic. Like, I don't want to say it's a cause of the pandemic and everyone's inside, but the...
What?
The homicide rate was high before the pandemic.
It was, but I'm like, considering the fact that we are in a pandemic, considering how small Jamaica is, and I'm talking just about Jamaica just for a sec, considering how small the island is, I mean, wait, can we, because I honestly was kind of caught off guard, not really caught off guard, but when I heard the news of the shooting in the church today, I was taken aback. Because this is not a new story. This is not something new. Crime is not new in Jamaica. It's not new for us to hear about something that disturbs you.
Okay.
But I literally, before we came on, I saw the clip. Praise and worship is going on. And all you hear is the gunshots going off. Yeah. According to the news we heard, is that the guy came in the church, sat beside the person who he was going to kill, and then
just
fired out the shots.
Yeah, so it came out, it was what, 10:30 a.m. today? Yeah, I think it's 10:30 a.m. today. And you know how, because I was talking, like, the church, it's actually one of my relatives' church, my marriage. A relative's husband, he's a pastor of church. So, like, that's how we were able to find out that one of my cousins called me and was like, yo, this will happen. He came into the church, he sat down, sat next to her, chilling like nothing happened, and then boom, just shot her out of nowhere and literally just walked out.
The service is actually being streamed.
Yeah, the service is being streamed. And it's crazy because something like this happened, I think it was at the start of the pandemic where someone was murdered on church premises.
Church property. Like, yeah.
Church was happening inside and then outside the person got shot. I think that was video. Yeah.
Yeah. And to Americans, this is not new. I mean, there was a shooting in South Carolina where 9 people were killed by a member of the white supremacy group.
Terrorists, yeah. And then there was another one. It happened in a white church where it was like Sunday service. They weren't in, I don't know if they were in praise and worship, but it was obviously service. All the people were there and they just came in and shot it up. And
it's crazy. Because back in the day, it's funny though, because not even funny. It's crazy because back in the days from when I was growing up, there are some, there is a sense of reverence and sacredity to the church itself. So like when, even when crime, Jamaica's always been bad, but I feel like people that were in gangs or gunmen, they still had a level of respect for the building itself, or people that were a part of the organization, or I don't want to call the church an organization, but it is. But who people are a part of the church itself, there was a sense of respect and reverence. I feel like Jamaica just gone to the point where there is no sense of respect and reverence for the church itself. Like, we've gotten to the point now we're shooting in church. Like, they did bad, but now we're gone bad.
Yeah. But I feel like even some... All right, this is going to say... This is going to be weird, but, like, I feel like respectable gunmen, I feel like they're the most religious.
The like, irony of the story. The irony of the statement.
They can give you scripture word for word. They can cite things in the Bible, what Jesus said.
I'm not saying like every Jamaican. Every Jamaican, most more like at this point, can quote the Bible.
What pushes you to go inside a church? I mean, I guess it'd be the same thing that happens. I mean, America is a Christian country.
And no, I wouldn't consider it as religious as I consider Jamaica, to be honest.
I think there's certain aspects.
I think it's a bad doing it because it's weird, and I don't want to get into the topic of religion. But when you think of countries that are very religious, you think of like crime and violence. And I'm listen, it's, we're not going to do that topic. But
oh,
you think you're like, it puzzles me because places where, if you look at Jamaica and how many churches they have per square, is it meter? Remember, I forget the measurement. But the amount of churches they have per corner, it's a lot. And you think that, okay, is you know what? Anyways, let me not go into that. It's gonna go deep.
No, you know what? There was actually a quote by someone in, I was reading it yesterday when I was doing the Black History research, and they were like, places where there is like a high affinity for churches and Christianity or religion or something like that, they have like the highest crime. And it was someone on the list that said it. And I was like, oh, this is something great I would love to bring up, but I'm not going to bring it because the party is going to come from me. And I need to be ready.
No. And here's the thing. For those people that listen, because everybody knows that I'm a churchgoer, I'll always be a churchgoer. I consider myself really spiritual or religious, however anyone put it. So I'm not blaming the church for the crime. I'm also not saying that the church does not have any power. I am just confused as to why is it so persistent. I mean, trust me, church people would tell you, peer triple, I don't want to say that's this is going to be the excuse, but church people would tell you that because there are so many churches, that's why the enemy, and then when I say enemy, the church is referring to the opposite of who God is. They'll say the enemy, it's an attack from the enemy because there are so many churches. So that's a topic we will have an entire episode about.
Oh, you want to go there?
I'm ready, but not today.
Not today.
I was caught off guard by the whole
video. Yeah, it happened on Facebook Live.
I know.
That's so crazy to me. And it, you know what? It goes to this point where I'm in a group of people that are looking, people from the U.S., mostly the U.K. actually, that are looking to get their Caribbean citizenship. They were born in the U.K. They were born in the U.S. Their grandparents are from the islands, and they want to get their citizenship. And a topic that comes up not frequently,
uh-huh,
but it does come up is going back as a returning resident. And the potentially having to deal with crime, like murders of returning residents, because that's something that's pretty high throughout the region, not just in Jamaica, it's high throughout the region. It's more prevalent. I don't want to say it's more prevalent, but I know there's a higher incidence of it in Jamaica.
Yeah,
but it's
a scary
something
move.
Like this, yeah, something like this, would it deter me from moving back? Like, I mean, eventually, would I move back 100% full time? No, because I'm going to be living across the entire Caribbean region because that's my dream.
She's a global citizen.
But that's something that's really scary.
It is, because I always think of my parents too. It's like, okay, I'd always would think, okay, it would be nice for my parents to go back to Jamaica to live, but it also would be very scary for them to go back to Jamaica to live.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And it's sad though, because you would think that this is the place where you're born. Well, my mom wasn't born in Jamaica, but this is the place my dad was born. This is the place my mom grew up, and this is somewhere you call home and you want to feel safe. I mean, granted, at the end of the day, they're nowhere in the world is safe.
Mm-hmm.
But when you hear of things happening, the problem, and I think people might not understand this that are not from the region, is that because the place is so small, and then chances are you know of somebody who knows the story, or it's like, oh, I've been there, or oh, I know where that shop was, or the shooting happened at that gas station, I've been there, I passed it. I feel like it always feels like it's in your home because the place is so small. Because crime happens in the U.S. I mean, here, stuff happens every day, constantly. But it's not because the region, wherever you're from, so if you're from Trinidad or if you're from Jamaica or if you're from Haiti, because the country is so small, you feel it more.
Yeah. And, you know, like that, people are going to say like, oh, you live in America, things happen in America all the time. Look at the whole.
It does.
And it does. But it does. I think it hits different. It hits different because this is like America, we live here. We live here, right? But like.
We're not born here.
Caribbean is home. So you treat home a little bit, you view home and you treat home a little bit differently than when you live somewhere else. And it's scary. And to be honest, like it's interesting because where the shooting at the church happened is in the same parish, is a parish where my family is from, my maternal side of family. And we were a part of my family. We actually had one of our relatives return back home, and they were murdered all right, so crazy story, right? This happened years upon years upon years ago. So we were, I think I was here with my aunts and uncles, and one of like our cousins, because where we're from, it's, well, where my family's from is, they're like up in the hills of Trelawney. Where we are probably related to Usain Bolt.
Possibly.
A couple cousins went to school. We're in the same route as him. But we were up in the hills of Trelawney, and it's kind of, you know, it's a country. It's like rural area. So one of our relatives, she came down from England. She was like a cousin. Second, third, fourth cousins, a cousin, right? All you know, you have a relative, oh, una relative, una cousin, right? And we were actually blood cousins. She had a house down there, and she let, I think it was like a niece or a cousin. My family that's listening to the story, yes, I'm butchering it, but like, let's say like her niece, her grandniece or something, her son lived there. And when she came and she saw how the house was, she was like, and how he was keeping the house, she was like, I don't want you in my house anymore, you gotta go. So she told him he had to go. He did not want to leave. So I guess one day, a couple days later, she had come over to the house. I think it was in an evening, and they got into an argument, and he killed her. He beheaded her. And I remember the evening because it was like raining where I was in the States and where our family's from down there. And it was like spreading like wildfire. Like this was before WhatsApp was a thing. Like you still had to use the phone card to call down there. Like everybody, like people from Canada, people from the UK, people from America, people from Jamaica were like calling, were all talking about this. And my male cousin, he like ran away from the murder. I don't know what that's called, the technical term for it, but he went on the run. And it's so crazy because they were fighting over a house, like a piece of rock, like some board and some cement and a piece of rock. And then five years to the day where the murder happened, they found him and arrested him. And he's in jail now. But a lot of these crimes against returning residents are usually over money or houses or land or something really, really stupid. Because it's like, why are you arguing over money? Like, And I tell people this all, I tell my cousins this all the time, like, listen, I'm very protective over my things because I work very, very hard. Mm-hmm. You're not here when I'm up, even during COVID, like I work twice as hard now as does everyone else. Like I am up early in the morning. I'm working late into the wee hours of the morning. I work very hard for my money, so I like to enjoy it. And yes, I know of the disparities and I try to help as much as I can. But if I'm here, I'm struggling and I'm building something home so I can come back and like enjoy the fruits of my labor and help who I can help with the resources I have. And then you come kill me. It's a huge deterrent. Like, would I still invest in the Caribbean? Absolutely. That like, it doesn't change anything. That is my spirit. That's my home. Like that's where I get my joy from. But it's a struggle. Like incidences like this in church, inside, not even like the premises, inside the church.
You sat there for a second. I mean, the sad part about your story is that it's not an isolated case. I mean, it's not an isolated. It's not something that has not happened already, and it is sad. And most of the occurrences or situations that happen like that, usually, sadly, involve people that are close to them. So either a family member or neighbor. But it's very disheartening. I remember this story, I think I heard of the couple that moved back to Mandeville. I think it was a couple of years ago, they moved back to Mandeville. And I think within a month, they were killed after moving back. And I think there was also one that came back from Canada. She spent all her life in Canada. I think it was either Canada or UK. They spent all their life working hard until they're like 65. And now they're like, let me go back to the place where I was born just to spend my last days home. And then you're just killed for something that's so trivial.
Yeah.
Like property, like land, like the money you have. I mean, it's very disheartening.
Very, very disheartening.
Very disheartening. But at the end of the day, to anybody who is there, who is listening, who is still considering going back to their homeland, I mean, don't stop.
Don't stop. Keep going.
Keep going.
We're not going to stop.
Yeah, but it's not stopping me.
I think what... I don't know what's gonna happen, but like
I think the government has to definitely take a stand.
Exactly.
And I think we were having this conversation with Jordan before. I don't know if we need help from outside, and maybe that's what we need. We might need help from outside. I mean, and granted, we know we don't want help from China, we don't want help from certain places because other countries. Clearly, at this point, I don't think America should get involved in anything because we got a lot of crap to work on here. So I feel like America needs to stay out of people's business at least for the next 70 years. But I feel like Jamaica needs to get to the point where they're going to realize that they need help to deal with crime. It's almost like, you know what, you put in a personal situation. Like, okay, if I realize, you know what, I'm going through something and I need to first recognize that I have an issue and then also recognize that it's okay to ask for help. And I feel like that's Jamaica's. It's time for the therapist to show up in Jamaica. Or it's time for them to wave the white flag and say, you know what? We tried, we can't do this our own.
So I
think help.
We have done that where we have reached out to other US, UK, right? We actually had a British, I think he wasn't the head of police, Mark Shields. I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah.
And there have been a number of reports done in Jamaica and other regions, right, where they've addressed the crime issues and what can be done. And the issue is systemic. It's within the system. Because you know how people are. Mm-hmm. People have their egos. They don't want things to be changed. They have a steady stream of income from whatever our apparatuses that are around them that they don't want to stop. And I feel like people, like when they have like the National Days of Prayer, which at this point is sadly a joke, because you're gonna have all
come. I would want to say that joke only because you know my thought on prayer in churches.
Yeah, I mean, I believe in prayer, but I think that for all these, how old are we, Dakari? We're in our 30s, for probably like 50 plus years, and they've been having National Days of Prayer. And nothing is like
not to say it's not effective though, because I mean I don't want to take that away from the church. I don't want to take that away from, because it's just like I don't mean to cut you, but I at the end of the day it would be just like you praying for something, you know what, because people have prayed for things over
but like
years. Not to say okay this is gonna have a drastic shift, but I don't want to use that as the, you know, that for me I wouldn't want to bring that in to say okay. Yeah, because there have been other measures that are not prior. We don't take it as a joke. So, okay, but yeah, been blah blah blah. It's a joke. Like I feel like, for me, I'm just gonna put that to the side. Because there have been other measures that have been taken have not been effective.
Yeah, but I think it's more. I can say that's an example. Like, let me finish my thought here. Like. You say, let's have this National Day of Prayer, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, let me do another analogy. You say, I'm going to lose weight, right? I'm going to lose weight. You say every year, I'm going to lose weight. But you don't do anything about it to help you lose weight. You have these National Days of Prayer, right? Where you come together, you pray, you do it for one day, a National Prayer Breakfast, one day. What are you doing outside of that? What are you doing to support that? What are you doing? Because faith without deeds is dead. Hello, Bible scripture. Thank you, Maple Preparatory School, for forcing us to recite a Bible verse and for the numerous pastors. Hypocrite they may be, but yep, thank you. You say you're going to be doing all these things, and you don't do it. Like, they have all these, like with Jamaica and these ZOSAs and these special zones, oh, they're going to be working, we're doing this, we're doing that, and it sounds flashy and great during a press conference, but when nothing's being done, you're like, it's a fire, and you're sprinkling a little salt on it to help it go out. The flame may go down, like, a little bit, but then nothing happens. It's like the United States' COVID response, right? Like, oh, we're going to do this and this to do COVID, to fight COVID, blah, 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 but then nobody listens, no one follows the rules, people do what they want. And then you're surprised when the COVID rates are up. It's the same thing with crime in the Caribbean. You say, you go on, you have these press conferences, you say you're going to do this, this, and that. Meanwhile, this group doesn't listen. This group does whatever they want. This group follows the rules, but because everyone else is doing their own thing, the rate's going to go up. So
I think they should definitely go back. They need to reconsider the NIDS initiative. So the national identification system that they were trying to put in place. But I feel like that is definitely a start. Because I feel like at the end of the day, with crime in Jamaica, the problem is, I mean, there are numerous issues that come down to crime. But I think identifying the killers and shooters and people that are involved in crime has always been a big issue. Because one, nobody wants to identify. I think there has to be a serious investigative procedure that's put in place when it comes down to crime and violence. Because we have people that show up in institutions that touch places, their fingerprints are put down. We have people, some of them, they're bold and barefaced. You see their faces, you have their fingerprints. I'm like, how is it that you cannot identify this person? We need to get to the point where you're fully able to identify all these people, and that there is a system where these people can be put in prison. Because you can't have people that now show up in a church, he more than likely is on video, and then we can identify and say this is John Brown that was born in September 20th, 1984, that used to live on 10 Mary Lane. Like, how is it that we can't identify these people? How is it that we can't identify them and put them in prison? Like, what happened to that system? And I think it is very... I'm always annoyed. Once in a while, I read comments on certain things, but I'm always annoyed when I see like articles about the NIDS system, and then when you read the comments and the ignorant comments about how it's being intrusive, oh, it's the mark of the beast, or it's the government trying to get control of you. But I feel like and it's funny because these are the same people that would want to come to the U.S. and like, okay, you're gonna want to come to the U.S. You know, the U.S. gives you a social security number. So at some point you're being tracked. You know, when you come to the United States, you are, they're taking your fingerprints. So you're okay doing that to come here, but you're not okay with doing that in your own country. Like, come on, you've got to get to the point where we're going to have to put hypocritical, we're going to have to put ancient, like, move certain traditional and certain mindset, like, change our mindsets. Because I feel like the entire country has to come together and realize that this is an issue that, trust me, I have no problem with you taking my fingerprint, my blood type, anything, as long as you're not coming into my house and seeing me naked. Like, why do you have an issue with everybody having an ID? Why do you have an issue with people?
While I'm naked, it's my house.
Why are you having an issue with people taking your fingerprint? Because I feel like at the end of the day, against the will of the people, Andrew Holness has to needs has to be an executive order where the national identification system, and it must include fingerprinting. It must start, and it must start now. We need to be able to track everybody. If you have nothing to hide, you should have no issues. And I feel like it's got to start there. So it's got to start where you can now identify criminals and you can fully lock them. So at least people are going to start doing stuff. People are getting involved. They know, okay, you know what? The system is there to catch you. Because I think what these people are doing, that crime is so prevalent in Jamaica because they're not being caught.
But it's not, like, I don't think crime is prevalent in Jamaica. And Jamaica isn't an isolated incident. It's prevalent across the entire region. And some of our issues may not be the same, but I think one of the big issues is that, yes, crime is high in Jamaica. Crime is also high in Trinidad. Crime is high in the Republic. Crime, and that was just homicide, right? That was
and crime is also high in Chicago, and crime is also high in St. Paul's, California. So that's not, for people that are listening, we're not trying to bash the Caribbean and seem like we're American.
No. I mean, it's our home. We care about it. Of course, we're going to be like that annoying cousin. We talk about it. You talk about, then if you try to talk about it, listen, knock if you bug, I am ready. My kids, I will watch someone beat you up on the set because I'm not touching nobody but anybody here. Yeah, but you know, I think the issue is, because I don't know if people remember this or saw this, about a plane that crashed in Jamaica, and when they went to get the plane, there was no one on it and nothing on it. And it evaded Jamaican, Jamaican airspace. Which is another story.
Did they find the people eventually? I don't even know.
No. There was like rumors that residents saw Caucasian men coming out of the plane. And there's all these theories. They're like,
did they swim to a different country?
Huh?
Did they swim to a different country?
You know what happens. It's probably some drug cartels from South America. The plane... I don't know if it was an intentional or unintentional crash. The plane crashed. They took the drugs out and went about their business. And the drugs is wherever.
And they left the plane there for everybody to take pictures of. And take pictures with. Because that's all I'm seeing.
Yeah. I mean...
It's almost like they might as well just paint it and leave it there as a tourist attraction for the people.
It really was a tourist attraction.
Yeah, because I saw the photos. I'm like, wait, so this is like a monument now?
Yeah.
This is almost like a monument.
Yeah, but I feel like it's
our grandchildren would know about the story.
Yeah, true. You know what? There are people that are employed by the people of the Caribbean. They work at the University of the West Indies, and they are criminologists. They examine crime trends in the Caribbean. They come up with solutions and resolutions. We actually interviewed a wonderful, very, very wonderful, smart, super productive human being, Professor Wendell C. Wallace, who is a criminologist, researcher, lawyer, mediator from the University of the West Indies, St. Augustine campus in Trinidad. And we were talking about crime in Trinidad, and he was like, they don't have the proper infrastructures in place, right? And he was like, they don't have a Coast Guard. He has brought it up to ministers about having a Coast Guard, doing this, doing that. They look at trends in Haiti, look at trends in Jamaica, look at trends in Trinidad. What's happening geopolitically, blah, 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 blah. And I feel like the people have done the research, because we are people of faith, but we also like to look at the facts. We have the facts. People have submitted proposals on how to curb crime. And this is backed by research And still, you have all these people there, you have all this information, you have this knowledge, and nothing is being done. Nothing's being done. There was a study, I know that there was in Jamaica, there was a study about, not even like, you can tell. Like, you remember, I think it was in the 90s when they used to have like curfews in certain areas. Mm-hmm. You had to be in at a certain time, similar to like the Zosos or the Sos or whatever they call it. But mm-hmm. there was still crime. Like I lived in East Kingston, and I remember when we used to have curfews, people were still shooting, like people were still dying on the street. They were still shooting up. Like they weren't doing anything to solve the issue.
It clearly did not help. We're in a whole pandemic. Everyone is supposed to be home, and it's still not helping.
Exactly.
Like first of all, why are you outside? Were you wearing a mask? You did.
Let me know. I mean, like, it's literally, it's the end of January. It's the end of Haitian Appreciation Month. Tomorrow is the start of
Black. We had this conversation last year. We had this conversation around the same time.
We did have this.
My spirit told me we had this conversation because it was early in the year and yep. we were both venting and we're like, the year just started. Yeah.
We had this conversation. Oh, yeah. Because that's this when time.
It's like 2020 part two. Like, we don't.
I need a reboot of 2020. How are we going to quarantine and quarantine?
I do not need a.
Yeah. I don't need another pause. Like, no.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
No. I don't want to repeat the same topics we talked about last year. I mean, we're going to try and be fresh, but like sometimes some hot topics come on and you got to stop, you got to pause and be like, yo, what are we doing?
What the?
So I guess like we talk too much. This is supposed to be a 20-minute episode. Yeah, I'm going to stop doing this because it always ends in disappointment.
We need a countdown. That's what we need.
Yeah, we do. To like the people that were affected by that shooting, the shooting that happened this morning at the church in Trelawney, or I don't even want to say our thoughts and prayers are with you, because that just seems tired and old. Like, I'm like...
But at this point, that's the only thing we can offer from where we are.
Is there a different choice of words we can say? Because I'm praying for y'all. Like, yeah. I'm praying that for comfort. For comfort.
And because, strength. Yeah.
Yeah. And I pray that I pray that you guys can seek counseling, because that's a traumatic thing to see. Traumatic.
That's a whole topic right there. That is a topic I think we might need to talk about after episode. The traumas and dealing with traumas in the Caribbean, whether it be crime and violence and poverty and social issues and how we deal with our traumas. I think that, yeah. We do actually have an episode on the calendar. We have something about mental wellness. But I don't know, we've never dealt with our traumas. And then when you think of issues of crime and violence, there's always this social aspect, but there's that aspect of it. It's the social aspect of the whole, the idea of crime and violence and its origin, how it's continued. But then trauma is definitely an issue, because I feel like with people who commit crimes, there's this, and clearly there is a sense of numbness.
Yeah.
There's a trauma of their childhood.
There
are the social issues that they have dealt with. I mean, I'm not trying to find an excuse for anybody that commits crime. But there are social issues that they have or are dealing with that plays out in their actions. And sadly, we don't have a system in place to help people who have dealt with those traumas. So people who have grown up in communities where they see crime and violence, or they see their father or their uncle or their mother being shot, and to them it becomes the norm. So when then they in turn get older and engage in such activities, it doesn't seem like anything to them, because they grew up in this world where that was a part of the movie, that was a part of the script that they've lived their entire life. So when we see it as, oh my God, this is bad, they see it as, oh, this is life.
And if there are, any children, you know how I am about children.
Yeah.
And imagine if they're, oh my goodness. Like,
imagine the people that literally have to replay the story of that shooting in the church.
Like, that's intense trauma.
Yeah, I saw the video. It's funny. Not funny. I keep using the word funny. It's crazy because I saw them before we started recording. I saw the actual video. And the praise and worship leader, it's almost like she was so stunned that she continued to praise and worship for a second. It's almost like she didn't realize. It's like, you know, when you see something, you're just so shocked that you're like, nah, I didn't see that. Let me continue. The trauma.
Oh my God.
The trauma.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord. My family.
Jamaica has to invest in. Like, you know, America has, you know, America has this huge, ridiculous defense budget. Jamaica might need a huge crime budget. That also involves counseling and resources for dealing with certain traumas.
Uh-oh. All right. 5 minutes ago, Dear Dream, Sean Paul says it's time to address issues in music and crime, in music and crime and violence.
Oh yeah, we're not about to have that topic because you know I'm ready.
We're not about to have
it. You know what I said about that, and I said that last year, and I don't want to repeat of 2020. But we had a whole discussion. Let me put it out there so that people can know. We had a whole discussion about the effects of dancehall on our culture, and Jody was like, nah. But dancehall does not do anything. But yet, when we talk about the ineffectiveness of a National Day of Prayer. But you don't want to highlight the fact that dancehall contributes to the crime. And I will say it again. I know you're not listening, but it contributes massively to the issues we have in crime. And yes, we will have another discussion about that one.
Okay, we'll have
This has been, I don't have a timer on my thing. I know we're talking a lot of people.
We're talking.
Please just.
We're talking. Wait. So, okay. So they have a name.
By the way, she's getting all the, I don't want to call it juice, but she's getting all the deets as we record.
Updates, yes. So the person that was murdered, she's a bank employee. This I knew before. I'm going to ask my cousin if they know this person.
Okay, details. Time is running.
She goes to church all the time, and she'd received threats following the dismantling of a major credit card fraud ring in Western Jamaica.
That's crazy, you know, because clearly, I mean, I've said it earlier in the episode that I do work for a bank as well. And we've dealt with fraudulent issues and fraudulent transactions. And just the fact that she, wow. Yeah, it reminds me of a story of I think one of my dad's friend, his wife worked for, I think, a big manufacturing place in Kingston. And she was involved in the firing of like a couple of employees. And Tutu's, one of the employees that got fired followed her to her house in front of her son, shot her as he was driving. Like, and I know the guy, you know, that guy, my parents were talking about the trauma that he's never been the same. He has not been the same. He literally saw his mom shot right in the driveway. And it's all because he was fired from a job. Like, minute. Wow. I don't get it. America, not to say.
Wow. That, oh my God. You know,
We have stories to tell.
Yeah, because I have cousins. Their mom was murdered while they were in the car. Like, murdered in plain blood.
Like, right here, yeah.
And all three of her kids, and all three of them, they all have some mental issues. Well, not mental, they have.
Yeah, I mean, you can never. God forbid, I wouldn't even want to think about that happening to me.
And the older the kid,
you have to just put me in somewhere and just like, I don't know.
Okay, all right. Well, this is sad.
This is heavy.
This is a very heavy episode, but we honestly care about our region, and it's shocking, and we want to talk about it. All right.
On that note, let's end. It's Black History Month. We're still celebrating our people, our culture, everything us.
We're celebrating
melanin, the birth of Black kings and queens.
Yes, we're celebrating the birth of nations. Grenada's independence.
Not the show.
Wait, what?
You said we're celebrating the birth of nations, and I said not the show. You remember the movie?
Oh, the movie.
The issue with Nate and the rape allegations?
Yeah. He was really trying to do something.
We're not gonna. On that note, guys, please share and download the episode. Oh wait, by the way, guys, if you listen to the end of our episode, please do me a favor now, while we're on a pause, hit the download button. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm waiting. Just hit the download episode. Download episode.
And if you're not downloading, hit the share button right now. Share it to the family WhatsApp group. I'll give you like 2 seconds.
Every Caribbean person is in like 10 WhatsApp groups. Just hit it. No. On that note, people, happy 2021.
But happy February 2021. Yes.
We made it through a whole month.
We made it past.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Yeah, Jarastafari.
No, we talked a lot.
Wait.
She missed Jesus with Rastafari.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Bye, y'all.